Hi, this is John Nicholson. I'm at Hua Hin Beach in Thailand, and you're listening to the Virtually Speaking podcast.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 51. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero. John's on vacation still, and so co-hosting today is the manager of the technical marketing group here at VMware, Mr. Ken Werneberg. Ken, how you doing, man?
I am great, man. Just back from some vacation time, so I am completely rehabilitated, reinvigorated, reassimilated, ready to go.
That's right. You were doing some, last time I saw you, I think you were like burning up in somewhere in Canada. It looked pretty scary.
it may be a little counterintuitive, but we do get some pretty damn hot temperatures up there. So in the interior BC, it must have been getting close to 100 or about 38 in real units. But yeah, it was good. It was great times all around. Went and floated around in lakes and got myself a nice sunburn to show for.
Nice.
At least it's better than, collecting Komodo spit or whatever John's off doing, because, that stuff will put you in the grave.
Yeah. All right. Well, while John is chasing Komodo dragons, we've got a great episode today. We're going to be talking to a team called vSAN Ready Labs. Now, that name might not ring a bell to you, but if you've been in the HCI market, if you're looking at vSAN, you probably have heard of the term vSAN Ready Nodes. These are the servers that have been tested, configured, and approved to be used with vSAN on the compatibility guide. Well, the team that handles all of that and much more, as you're going to find out, is this team called the vSAN Ready Labs. So, Ken, before we bring on our experts, why don't you share a little bit about what vSAN Ready Labs is to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have, of course, for vSAN, a handful of systems that we know it will run on. We have, particular drives, we have particular partners, we have particular equipment, and all of that stuff needs to be handled and managed and looked at by somebody to make sure that our customers don't get into trouble when they go off to do their own thing and just kind of, fly by wire. So in terms of making sure that hardware is actually going to work, to make sure that, the systems that people want to run vSAN on are going to work, that's where this group comes in.
Nice.
They do, an amazing job on this stuff. So I'm very excited by this topic. I was hoping that we could get them on at some point. Day has come.
Well, awesome. Well, let's not delay. We've got the experts on the call here. Joining us first is Senior Product Manager Biswa Bhattachary. I think I pronounced that right, at least hopefully close. Bhattachary, is that it?
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome.
That's right.
Welcome, Biswa. Also joining us is the Engineering Director for vSAN, Catherine Vandiver. Catherine, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for inviting us.
Awesome. So yeah, Ken, you gave us a little taste of what vSAN Ready Labs is, but I wanted to talk to the folks that really work with this on a day-to-day basis. I think this is a pretty exciting topic. There's a lot of folks that are getting into vSAN. I think I saw recently the most recent publicized numbers is we've got over 8,000 customers, and there's a lot of different configurations out there. So either one of you can jump in here and give me the 2-minute pitch. What is vSAN Ready Labs?
So let me go ahead and jump in. This is basically a group within vSAN Engineering, and we kind of have our own name, Ready Labs. We're pretty proud about that. We started out as an organization that was responsible for all the certifications. And as Ken mentioned earlier, really making sure that we can defend vSAN against all the hardware combinations that we're running underneath vSAN itself. Ready Labs itself is an evolution of this task because we essentially have gone from just only doing certifications to working very proactively with all of our partners and OEMs, getting ahead on the roadmap, working with early hardware enablement, oftentimes working with prototypes and early GA drops of firmware and drivers to make sure everything works so we can hit day zero when our partners are ready in order to have a vSAN ready solution right out of the gate.
So you're working with systems before, in some cases, I would imagine, like with the Intel launches and things like that, you're probably working with gear that people haven't even seen yet to try to get some day zero types of
readiness. Yeah, absolutely. And we've been able to really shift the team in the last 12 to 14 months to going from being reactionary to being very proactive. So working with early gear, getting often equipment in even before it goes to manufacturing. So we're running vSAN bring up on that equipment. We're ironing out all the anomalies with our partners that we might see with that equipment, making sure that we can stretch that equipment in any number of combinations needed for vSAN such that, you know, we can go ahead and publish it as the end result of a ready node, knowing with full confidence that we've been able to just really run a lot of hard tests and certs on that equipment before day zero. So exactly, we work with a lot of early prototype equipment.
Yeah. And you touched on a term mm-hmm. that's very common to most of us, but maybe we should, for the benefit of the larger audience here, you touched on that term ready node. What is a ready node?
A ready node is something that we came up with a couple of years ago for vSAN. When with software-defined storage and in any HCI solution, the beauty of it is you can run it on commodity x86 equipment. But that's also a challenge at the same time because you don't always know what the equipment looks like underneath the software. So it could be any combination of driver and firmware and controller. But if you don't have the right set of tests to make sure that that storage subsystem of the driver firmware controller is resilient enough in its own right to run with the demands of vSAN, you may not have the right hardware solution to meet the demands of vSAN. The ReadyNode program was really put in place to ensure that there's an entire hardware bill of materials or BOM that is pretty much certified by vSAN engineering that says, hey, this software will run on this hardware configuration, and giving our customers the confidence that they can buy that ReadyNode, buy that SKU from their OEM, knowing that they don't have to address or face any issues that they would see in an otherwise build your own system or build your own component system. So it's something that I think our customers have benefited from. It gives them the ability to really focus then on VMs and what we do best here at VMware, which is making sure that their vSAN and their VMs run properly without having to worry about hardware or any hardware configuration. So I think it's a really beautiful thing to have that ready node available to them so they can run it, buy it, knowing that they don't have to worry about hardware.
I like it.
And Pete, just wanted to highlight here again. So we have this prescribed set of hardware today with a BOM, with a single SKU, so that our customer has a big time good experience in terms of deploying vSAN on those ready hardwares. We also came up with a blog recent days, which talks about what you can and cannot change within the ready node. And that's very important from a customer perspective, because today there are a lot of ready nodes and a lot of choices exist from a hardware perspective. I mean, when we deploy vSAN, we don't realize that so many OEM partners, so many choices from a storage subsystem. So what we have done on that blog, we have gone a little extended and beyond the normal BOM here. And we talk about, okay, within that guideline, what are the stuff you can also change? For example, from our OEM perspective, they are multi-sourcers from a drive perspective. So if you look at the SSD market, there are a lot of players. They have their own partnership with those players, and they have preferred vendors on that line. So we don't restrict our customer in that BOM. Even though we certify and list out, say, one particular configuration, when it comes to consume vSAN on those configuration, we allow them to go for any of those drive as long as they fall into that performance and the endurance class. So these are like very important deviations we are today allowing within the ready node itself so that the consumption become much better and much more easier from a vSAN deployment perspective. And that's a key milestone, and we are helping our customer experience more and more by doing all this flexibility within the ready node BOM itself.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a huge point. There's one thing that I've seen a million times. Well, maybe not a million times. A little bit of a hyperbole there, but I'm not above that. Anyway, if there's one thing I've seen many times, it's where people really don't get that intricacy of the whole thing with ready nodes, is that they're a starting point, that you can take something that's designed around a particular, maybe not an outcome, but you know, its general purpose, or it's a little more storage oriented, or it's more compute oriented, whatever it happens to be. And people look at those things and say, okay, well, this is almost meeting my needs, but really, oh man, I've got to have two controllers or two disk groups or whatever it happens to be.
Right.
But the ready node only has one. And they think that that's some sort of a stopping point. So, I mean, that's such a critical thing that I've seen with customers misunderstanding that ready nodes are awesome, but you view them as a starting point to kind of customize to exactly what they need. Now, we're not going to let them build it with, I need a second controller. I'll take my, you know, cutting edge 1999 Adaptec 2940 ultra wide and slap that into the server. And that's where some of the certified components, I imagine, come in to make sure that the ready nodes, or even if people are building it themselves,
that they're using components, not necessarily even servers or ready nodes that are certified. Is that right?
That's right, Ken. And I think, at a high level, if you think ready node, those guidance are more of a template from our perspective. We want our customer to consume their choice, their partnership with their respective OEM. And within that also, they should be free enough to choose the right combination. And you said right, it's not any component. They has to be on the vSAN VCG, which is our compatibility guide. You just can't choose any random component and make it part of our ready node BOM. It has to be certified before. And like I said, we have a very large number of ready node today. In fact, almost 400 ready nodes are there today in our vSAN VCG, including the Purley launch, which is Intel's next scalable Xeon platform.
Okay. So the vSAN ready nodes are not exactly, it's not like you have to use a vSAN ready node and that's it. You obviously can deviate as new hardware comes out. Or as Ken says, if you just really want to be a classic guy and get something really old and put it in your server, you can do that as well, assuming that it's been certified and added to the certification list for vSAN Ready Labs, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you start with that template, as Ken mentioned. That's our beginning point, is that template. But then you have the flexibility, as Biswas' blog highlights. It gives you that flexibility. So you start with that base template, and then you can build out from there. And so that does give you a lot of flexibility.
So I was going to ask, let's say Pete and I have started up our own company. We're going to build new servers and new controllers, and we're going to base them on that cutting edge 1998 low voltage differential set of materials. So with this new construction in mind that Pete and I are going to do, how do we get onto that compatibility guide? How do we build a ready node? How do we get our components certified? Because I get asked this every so often from people that say, hey, look, I've got this awesome system. How do I make this work with vSAN? And I always say, yeah, go talk to Bisron, talk to Catherine, and walk away and smoke bomb out, as John would say. So how do we actually get new components onto that? What's the certification process look like, or process?
That's a wonderful question. I would answer it in two parts. One is the onboarding process, which is the initial step. And perhaps I'll let Catherine to explain about what it goes inside in terms of doing those certifications. So if I look at high level, we have a lot of server hardware have been already listed out as a vSAN ready node or from a builder component perspective. But even though we have so many, but still there are opportunity exist where new partners can really work with us and get their things being listed out. So we generally look for a technology partner who has an end-to-end, like a server hardware or components from a supply chain perspective, they own on their behalf and kind of continue to maintain that particular chain. They can fill up our technology partner form about what exactly that component is, where it fits into the storage subsystem, because we primarily look into the storage subsystem from vSAN certification perspective. And then we evaluate and figure out how do we take that partner on board. And based on their data and inputs, we kind of make them a part of our vSAN certification program. And once we take them on board, we have our program managers who works with them on a regular basis. Because if you look at our vSAN, it's just not a one-time activity. We keep on revising the certification as we progress with our vSAN releases. So sometimes it becomes more of a carry forward. Sometimes it requires additional testing. So all these been evaluated by our engineering team once they're on board with our program.
Thanks, Biswas, for that. Once you are onboarded, what happens next is you get a program manager assigned to you, and it's a very high interactive engagement, which is why we have somebody assigned to an OEM. It involves basically onboarding that partner from the technical side, where they will run the certification suite on site. So our partners run this on site. It takes about two and a half weeks to run. We go through a fairly rigorous set of tests for any kind of anomalies that happen with a high load of vSAN, different workloads, different disk group configurations, such that the system is resilient enough to all kinds of errors and error injection. And we also make sure that there's a sustained performance and there's a reasonable latency. We don't have any latency spikes. So that's kind of digging in the weeds. But the outcome of this really is a set of results that will tell us if the hardware has enough resiliency to stand up to the demands of vSAN. And through that process, oftentimes we will find there are anomalies. So that engagement model with the program managers is that we will go back and work with that OEM to find out if we need to tune something, if there's something in that configuration that can be adjusted. So then we get to that right set of hardware configuration to run vSAN. So it's a highly interactive process. We have hardware storage architects in the team. We also work with just all of the engineers in the team and the program managers to make sure that we have a very strong engagement with that partner to ensure that they can successfully pass the certification, we get the right hardware BOM listed, and then we can offer that ready to our partners.
Well, I've heard from a couple of people that we've actually uncovered not necessarily bugs, but optimizations and things like that that we've helped our partners with. So they'll submit something for certification. We'll run through and say, well, you know what? This isn't particularly ideal for an HCI sort of a use case. And that they've actually gone back and changed. I don't know if it's firmware or drivers or whatever it happens to be. Is that true or is that just rumor?
No, that's exactly true. And often we find that there's something wrong with the configuration or something in the configuration that doesn't quite meet our needs for vSAN. And it could be something in the firmware or in the driver that needs adjustment. So we do uncover a number of defects or issues that we will work with our partners. In many cases, we will do three-way calls between multiple OEMs and IHVs to get to the bottom of a problem. That's the value add that we bring, is that we don't just say pass or fail at the end of this. We really apply engineering talent to make sure that we understand what's happening. We work with our OEMs and IHVs to make the right necessary adjustments so we can, again, pass that certification and meet the needs of vSAN. So there's quite a lot we found. I'm not really at liberty to say here in this podcast because I don't want to reveal any issues that we've seen on some of this hardware. But I think the value is that once we do publish the ready nodes, we have vetted out any number of anomalies that otherwise would be passed on to the field.
Thanks, Catherine. And that's the result of our readiness on day zero. We are so involved with our partners and they are equally committed with us in terms of making them ready. So we also published recently a blog on how we are ready on day zero, where you could see all the platforms which are common or a popular platform from a vSAN perspective are already been supported and certified on vSAN by the vSAN Ready Lab so that customer can start using the Purley platform from day zero itself. So that's all about those involvement and surfacing out all the issues before even pre-GA. And when the things are GA, we are ready with the robust solution for vSAN.
Okay, cool. So do you have some sort of cadence or where you, I know you're working proactively with OEM vendors, so it's not like it's a reactive, as you said, Biswa. This is, you know, you guys are working in advance to make sure that the latest greatest is certified on day zero. But what is the certification process like? Is there a cadence where you release these updates onto the vSAN Ready Lab certification, or is it just as one gets certified, it's then added?
So what we do today is we really work with our OEMs on their schedule. It's a combination of their schedule and our schedule. So for example, if we're releasing a new version of vSAN, and if there's anything with vSAN that requires a recertification, then we will work with our OEMs to understand what that is and give them pointed testing or pointed certification so we can help them move into the next version of vSAN. At other cases, it's on our OEM or an OEM may have a launch date that they're aiming to have new hardware available. So, for example, they would come to us and say, I have a new product, a new platform. I want to launch it in Q4. Can you work with us ahead of time so we make sure that we're day zero certified? And so it really depends on both of those factors. That's the value of having an individual program manager assigned to each of these OEMs, is that we get in there, we look at those roadmaps, we can work very closely with our OEMs on those roadmaps and figure out what a whole certification strategy looks like for them. So then we can meet their needs on their schedule as well as ours.
Right, because certifying something like a drive is going to be a different set of tasks than certifying something like a full server versus certifying a VxRail. Right, I imagine a fair amount of difference in the complexity depending on the type of component that's being looked at, right?
That's true. And our OEMs do have their own launch schedules. Every OEM has their own cadence, whether they're planning to come out with a new platform or a midlife kicker, for example. So we work with them on their schedules as well.
Yeah, so we are involved with our OEM partners on a day-to-day basis for our execution part so that we also know what's coming up and accordingly we work on that line. I mean, that helps us to guide on our vSAN Ready Node profile or our hardware guidance as well as what is coming up on that line. So at every stage, we are involved with all of our OEM partners and align both our sides in terms of vSAN as well as their hardware platform.
And there are times where our partners will come to us and they will ask us if we could give them advice on what their configuration looks like. Now, they've already built the server, but they may not have decided the final components of their ready node. So we'll work with them to figure out from the ready node perspective, the most optimal configuration they can have to maximize the number of ready nodes that they would potentially publish. And that's another area that we've been getting involved with some of our OEMs as well.
Oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So go back to the idea. Ken and I were starting up this new company, and we're looking at some new NVMe drives that this company called John Nicholson is starting to sell. And we want to, you know, we want to use these drives, and they're on the list. They're certified. They're in a vSAN ready node, but then all of a sudden these drives just crap out. So who do I choke? Do I choke the partner, John Nicholson, or do I come to VMware?
So first of all, I hate John Nicholson because he's on vacation and put all the things on my plate. So everything will be rejected on his part. Now, on a serious note, I guess, I think Catherine, you can chime in, but I believe we work closely with our partners. So, and we make sure that we list out whatever been tested and certified. So some point of time when it comes to drive, it happens like that. In this example, an NVMe drive, right? It can have many choices from a firmware and driver perspective. And some of them may be certified on vSAN, some of them are not. So we definitely guide our partners or customer to be using the one which is on vSAN VCG. And we do those rigorous testing like Catherine mentioned. So make sure that at that particular release or that particular version, we are confident enough that our storage subsystem on vSAN is going to be working fine. But if there is any issue, we work closely with our partners and figure out how to solve that. So it could be to us. If a customer can come to us, and if we figure out there is something with vSAN, we can certainly involve and get it addressed. Or if we feel that there's something to do with the NVMe partner, we certainly can have a three-way communication and figure out how we help our mutual customer there. So it's a little open-ended. Depending on where the problem lies, we need to identify, and together we work in this kind of a scenario.
If it is a component that is on the VCG or HCL or on the ready node, and there is a problem in the field, we will get involved from my team. And it's along the lines of trying to understand the configuration, trying to understand if there's anything we can do to give them an instrumented build or an instrumented firmware drop or a driver such that it can be recreated and we can collect logs. So anything you would do normally in engineering to do a root cause analysis of an issue is what we would apply here. Our interest is really to get to the bottom of the problem. We really hate leaving customers hanging if they have an issue, yeah, especially with something like a drive failure. So we would work across ESX engineering, including the kernel team and the driver team, to make sure that we all are partnering behind trying to find a resolution to the problem at hand.
Were you going to say something, Ken?
Yeah, I was just going to switch just very briefly and ask a question about what does the testing actually look like? Because you've got a ton of different, I mean, it must be a ridiculous number of potential configurations given X different types of firmware, X different types of drivers. You've got, you know, 2 to 30 disks per host. You've got up to 5 disk groups per host. You've got God knows how many different types of controllers and disks and server types and processors and things along those lines. So you must have a massive test matrix. So what I was wondering about, even when you start thinking about things like controller queue depths and all the rest of that stuff, I mean, you've got a lot of variables within those configuration extremes as well. So what does actual testing look like, and how do you automate some of that complexity away or anything along those lines?
So that's a good question, because there are a lot of combinatorics when you look at all the configurations, including SATA and SAS and NVMe. So we certainly are facing, you know, a huge matrix there. The suite itself is automated, and it runs through 2 or 3 days of heavy duty performance testing with air injection, along with another week of high load testing with air injection. And we look at the outcome of all of that. So it's all automated. What we look for is essentially collecting performance baselines and latency baselines and all the different microbench baselines within vSAN itself. So our development team has put a whole lot of metrics in that we can collect in order to evaluate all the different layers in vSAN and how they compare against and how they perform against the hardware. So one thing we've been able to do is to just create thousands of baselines based on all these combinations. And then when we go to run new cert suites or run a new ready node or a new configuration, we will do a comparative analysis against baselines that exist in our catalog database. And that's one way that we're able to kind of normalize without having to get too caught up in the number of combinatorics, because it can get daunting when you begin looking at all the different combinations of the ready nodes. One of the things is, and I think it's really important for your listeners, is we're doing something on certification that is very unique. When you look at storage and you look at the number of OEMs that are actually delivering full storage solutions, they are testing hardware for months, if not you know, a good 12 months before they go out the door with hardware. What we're doing is we're cramming all of that testing into a very abbreviated period of time in this 2.5 weeks of time. So it's very pointed testing based, again, on the combinations that we'd outlined in the ReadyNode program and the different disk groups and the different configurations. So what we're able to achieve is, I think, pretty impressive with what we can do in that 2.5 week period of time as compared to what storage vendors are doing in 9 or 10 months. So that the outcome of this is that we're able to, even though it's very compressed, I think the outcome is we're able to deliver a pretty high quality product. And I've seen the quality of the ReadyNodes go up substantially in the last 1.5 years because we've put so much rigor into the relationships, the roadmaps, looking for all the targeted testing areas where when we see failures, we do targeted testing to make sure we understand those failures, vet them out with our OEMs, find solutions, make sure we get the right combination in place so that we can give our customers the highest quality ReadyNode as possible, given the time frame that we're working. So I think it's that's a really important thing to recognize, and that we're doing this with the OEMs that are on the ReadyNode list. There's 14 or 15 of them that we're working in partnership in very close collaboration, because all of us have that same interest in mind, is making sure that we deliver really solid hardware for vSAN. It's just a huge opportunity for us.
Oh, yeah.
So it seems to me almost like the hyper-converged nature of this gives a little more pressure in terms of time frames, because you got so many different potential configurations, but it also frees you up to be a little more dynamic in terms of responding to some of the changes. So if somebody releases a new, you know, Skylight comes out, we can respond by looking at certifying just that one component. Someone comes out with a awesome new 3D Crosspoint, whatever it happens to be, we can respond by just looking at that individual component. As opposed to those monolithic systems that take a lot of extra effort and time to test everything end-to-end. It doesn't mean that we're not testing everything end-to-end, but it seems that we're doing it on almost a smaller basis, on a more tractable basis.
I think there's truth to that. It does, because we architecturally can look at that component and we can do very pointed focus and analysis on that component and what its needs are in a ReadyNode, either as a component or within the ReadyNode itself. The other is, as we learn more and we get more traction and more history behind us on the ReadyNodes, we can evolve the policies and processes such that we can commoditize some of the testing and then expand testing in different areas based on the needs of the hardware. So as hardware is evolving, we see a lot more, for example, we see a lot more NVMe systems today than we did, obviously, 2 years ago. So we focus more on those kinds of configurations and deployments versus something that's all HDD oriented, which today is mostly paper certs. So we're always evolving what we're doing to make sure that we meet the demands of the hardware roadmap as well.
Is 3D Crosspoint something that's you think is going to catch on?
So this is the new Optane from Intel, and absolutely the performance and the latency, the low latency of Optane and the high performance of Optane, I think is something that we'll definitely see catching on. When Intel launched Optane P4800 NVMe, we were there to meet the demands and challenges of that day zero readiness with Intel. And I hope to see more of that happening in the future.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And in general, Pete, what I see, the NVMe adoption for vSAN is definitely growing. So irrespective of 3D Crosspoint or other NAND-based NVMe today, the customers are moving towards NVMe as a cache tier. And perhaps going forward, we will see an all NVMe and the capacities as well. But definitely their endurance points, their capacity points will vary. But NVMe seems to be the direction where the HCI market is heading towards. And we are definitely working with our OEM partners. We have a lot of NVMe ready nodes today available. We're also certifying the new generation as it comes along. So yeah, NVMe seems to be the direction with all flash as a vSAN deployment strategy.
Oh yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, as you come across those systems that you've tested with, you know, 3D Crosspoint, all NVMe systems, all the rest of that stuff, you know, once you're done the testing on them, tech marketing could always use contributions. And, you know, I think we could probably do some really creative material with 3D Crosspoint, right, Pete?
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you need us to test these things, just keep throwing them our way. We will definitely test them for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do really quick videos. And just one of the other points that I wanted to talk about. I mean, we're talking about ReadyNodes and how we have these basically completed systems that, you know, we can customize to some degree, but there are some other architectures like the HP Apollo that are coming out now that might put an interesting spin on that. So how do you handle something like an HP Apollo with composable infrastructure? And what does that look like in terms of making, again, that into a problem that you can tackle that that, again, from a configuration perspective, looks different than other traditional servers may have looked?
That's a great question, Ken. And we certainly work with our OEM partners. I will put it like four different buckets where we categorize the server hardware as a use case sort of a thing. One, I would say, is a more of a general purpose, wherever these rack servers fall in, like all HP's DL series or Dell R series, like R730, 740 on Purley, or maybe Cisco's C series, C220, 240, Lenovo's Think Systems, or their System X. All these are kind of fall into that category. And they cover a lot of business use cases like business critical apps, VDI, DR. I mean, you name it today, whatever vSAN runs today, they fall into that big bucket, and most of our ready nodes today exist on that line. But as we work with our OEM partners and we talk to our customers, we see they have a specific demand where they wanted to consume HCI, vSAN, but their use cases are a bit unique in terms of their server hardware configuration. So configuration like storage dense, really huge kind of a storage capacity point they look for their video streaming or analytics kind of a scenarios. So we have like HP, Apollo, or for example, Cisco's S series, where we go up to a capacity point of up to 100, 120 terabyte per node. I mean, typically you can think about like a half a petabyte within a four node or a kind of a cluster. So these are pretty storage dense configuration, and HP Apollo falls into that. And not only that, I mean, customers are also looking for multi-cluster where one is storage light, one is storage heavy. So Apollo is a classic fit there. You can really do storage mapping in terms of drives. So drives from other Apollo server can be mapped to the one of the nodes where you need more storage dense configuration, and you can leave the other one as a more light kind of a configuration. So these are really classic new unique platforms coming up where vSAN is already certified and customers are consuming for their unique use cases. The third one I would highlight as a compute intense, which are targeted mostly towards blade. I mean, they do not have like a storage slot so much, like two or three, depending on what server you are using. It's a Cisco's blade server or HP's blade server. Again, they all are certified in vSAN, VCG. That's a more compute intense workload. Sometimes storage efficiency services like dedupe compression or erasure coding, that also helps to provide a certain amount of storage efficiency over there, but they're primarily meant for compute intense sort of a workload. And lastly, it's a new evolving category I call a composable infrastructure. It has got different definition. I mean, for example, I would take HP Synergy, which is already certified. If you look at it from a different operating system perspective, say VMware and other hypervisor player, people say that it is a composable thing. Within that single frame, you can have multiple hypervisors can exist together. But for us, if it comes to vSAN, we look into composable infrastructure in a different way. Basically, you scale your compute and storage independently. There are customer workload we discuss with customer and understand which they are unable to plan ahead in terms of they don't know how their compute or storage domain going to scale. They don't want to over-provision their storage before because they don't know if the provision will it be consumed or not. So those use cases are pretty much coming up. And it's not just cloud native apps, even from a traditional workload perspective also, they are not ready in many senses, for example, predicting in the right way. So they don't want to buy upfront their computer storage and later on wait for them to be consumed. So composable infrastructure is a classic fit over there. And within the node itself, you can repurpose. You wanted to make sometimes compute heavy or storage heavy, just like computer storage dense configuration together. So a lot of combinations can be achieved with this composable infrastructure. And we have all this category of server already been certified on vSAN VCG. I mean, that's the very unique value proposition from a vSAN side, if I say so, because we are covering large set of hardware use cases today by certifying them with our OEM partners.
Okay, so general purpose, storage dense, compute intensive, and then this other one, composable infrastructure. That makes up the entire market segmentation, you would say?
Yes, and even there are further more market segmentation evolving like edge computing, I mean, which may fall into some of the category or maybe a separate category as well. But that's a high level what we see today, how the HCI has been consumed by our customers and how the OEMs are creating their platforms.
Awesome.
So it's basically because vSAN abstracts away that piece of the infrastructure, much like, you know, vSphere has always done. Sounds to me like what we're saying is the hardware is evolving. The abstraction of vSAN gives us the ability to then meet these emerging use cases on day zero. Is that a fair way to state that?
Yeah, that's a fair way to say, I would say.
And from the ReadyLabs side, getting hands-on with this equipment and configuring them for vSAN is an experience in itself. We've been able to take that experience and knowledge and then start to create cookbooks out of it so we can help the field. For example, when you get into some of these architectures, there are mechanisms in place, or there is a architecture such that you have to map the drives to the compute modules. So we're putting cookbooks in place to show the field how to do that.
Oh, nice.
We just came out with one for Apollo, and we're working on one for Synergy. Because of the complexity of these architectures, these composable architectures, they do offer quite a lot of configurations, and it's important that we figure out what will be optimal for vSAN and how we, again, guide our customers.
So how does one go to, like, is there a place where I can go and find the cookbooks that you guys have already made?
So we are putting them out on the virtual blocks right now. And again, we're working on one for Synergy, and that should be available in the next couple of weeks.
All right, cool.
You're also going on storagehub.vmware.com. So expect to see a couple of those coming up there too quickly.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll be sure to leave links on the show notes of this podcast with BizWa's article for all the different configurations within vSAN ReadyNotes, but also the blog that Chandra wrote explaining vSAN ReadyLabs, and also a link to the cookbooks. Is there going to be any presence at VMworld for vSAN ReadyLabs? Any sessions, anything, or is there a booth or anything where people can find out more about vSAN ReadyLabs at VMworld?
Well, we certainly will be in the HCI zone. We'll be there meeting with partners and just talking to customers as they come through the HCI zone. I also will be doing a session with Intel on Purley, Optane, and Cliffdale, which is some of their next generation 3D Crosspoint NVMEs and refresh on NVMEs. So you can take a look for that.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, so John and I will be talking about all of our hardware guidance on the ReadyNote side. And we wanted to share with our VMworld audience how we have evolved there. What does that mean? How do they read them in terms of when they deploy their vSAN ReadyNote, or even for the matter of build your own?
Very nice. Well, I'll be sure to leave links to those too. So be sure to check out those sessions when you head to VMworld. All right, well, I think that's a pretty good introduction on vSAN ReadyLabs. BizWa and Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Ken, do you have anything else before we let him go?
No, just look forward to making the compatibility guide for our new company with the drives that Pete, you and I get from John from some back alley market in Taiwan. Get us to the top of the list. Appreciate it.
It's funny you say that, because John is actually on vacation in Taiwan this week. As a matter of fact, he called in and he wanted to share his thoughts on vSAN ReadyLabs. So I'm going to let John get the last word this week. Here's John.
What's unique here is that if you look in the software-defined storage and you talk to customers, I'm not talking vSAN here. I'm talking every software-defined storage product existed all the way back to me building my own homemade hyperconverged VSA back in 2008 using DRDB and, you know, SUSE Linux. Where things really get weird and why people end up often abandoning is hardware doesn't fail in a binary way. It doesn't just outright die. You end up with halfway flaky stuff. You end up with a drive that's doing strange things, or an HBA that's randomly disconnecting. And there's so many different parts and so many different hardware IOQs and things that can go wrong that unless you have a team who's robustly testing all of these different combinations, stuff's going to slip through. And this is why vSAN's been able to scale to this many customers, is because we have a group who's hunting down and verifying and hardening and building tests. And what's cool with the ReadyLab is it's getting harder and harder to pass those tests because they're constantly finding new ways to break SCSI and SATA, PCIe, and all these different technologies. It's a really unique thing because a lot of people in HCI took the easy route and said, well, we're just going to have a very limited selection. You can only use these drives. We're only partnering with this one or two SSD vendors. And in the SDS space, alternatively, you saw some other people take the easy route, and I mean the easy route in a bad way also, of just saying, oh, yeah, we'll support anything. Yeah, go grab whatever drives. Grab some consumer-level drives. Oh, they're having problems? Please don't call us. Call that. You know, it's like, great. Like, yeah, use consumer-grade SATA drives. Yeah, I mean, they might, like, lose data on power loss, but, you know, we don't care. We don't know what's going on inside drives. And we actually had to hire people from the hardware industry, people who worked and designed drives for a living, to help us iterate and make these tests better and stronger, because people who just work from pure software-wise aren't even aware of all these different things going on inside of drives. So that's why I think the ReadyLabs, not only is it powerful, not only is it very useful for our customers, but it's very unique. one thing that's also unique here is seeing, like, in DDH, the dying device handling, degraded device handling, seeing all the advanced failure detection logic that has come as a feedback loop from us finding all kinds of weird partial failure scenarios. And having to do that and write that code in a generic enough way that it works across the 100+ device, you know, vendors and OEMs and things we interact with. That's some really cool tech.
All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. Do you know the difference between VMcrypt and vSAN encryption? If not, tune in next week. But until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.